Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 528. In this episode, Scott talks with Rob Eisenberg, creator of the Aurelia JavaScript framework.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Rob Eisenberg, JavaScript programmer extraordinaire, and I've actually known you for many years. We bump into each other at conferences all the time.
Yeah.
When did you start getting into JavaScript in earnest?
I think, JavaScript specifically, it was probably about 2010. Interestingly enough, I was at Mix that year talking about MVVM, the design pattern model view model, view model and model, right, in the context of XAML apps. And I demoed a kind of a simple framework in like 500 lines of C#, and for building apps. And I was walking away from this conversation talking to a few guys. Glenn Block was actually one of them. Mm-hmm. And they said, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this in HTML? And I thought, that would be sweet. And so I actually started looking around that time personally deeply into what was happening in the world of JavaScript and HTML. What were the real big problems, which, at that time, they're kind of different from today. But and I started prototyping and building stuff, and I had made a kind of personal commitment to learn JavaScript the way I had learned C# and .NET, mm-hmm, to actually really learn the language, to really learn browser APIs, to take time and to dig that, and then do a lot of research about what was, kind of going on in the community and who had solved what problems, and then figure out how to kind of put together a solution for building apps that would, solve the real problems that were going on. And I was doing XAML work, but I was also doing a lot of web work, and I was building a product of my own at the time for the web. And so I kind of built then a framework in the context of my own application development called Durandal. And that kind of showed up more officially, I think, around 2012. But I had spent about 2 years behind the scenes, kind of training myself and building on that and building products with that, and then working with customers who wanted to use what I was building. And so that's kind of the story of how things kind of got started for me, I guess, really. I'd done JavaScript, of course, in the past, but that was when I really said, okay, let's treat this like a real platform and let's learn it the way I would learn a real platform. Mm-hmm. Let's build tools like it's a real platform and see how far we can take this.
Wasn't that a little intimidating, though? Because it was starting, as I recall, to get a little bit crowded, and like JavaScript, people were starting to rise up, and you could start seeing the stars of JavaScript. And it was already a weird and complicated kind of language that people were looking at different angles. To come in and say, yeah, here's a framework that I think is a way to write apps, it's a declaration.
It is. There is an aspect of that, I guess. But I think, in technology now, it's kind of an ongoing thing. You're always kind of coming into a pre-existing context and saying, well, here's something new and different, and here's why, I think that you should pay attention to this or think about this or consider this or try it out. And JavaScript, is particularly interesting since the platform, when JavaScript first emerged back in the 90s, it was just intended for something different. And it's an interesting scenario because people have built apps on it, of course, very large and complicated apps, but the platform has evolved so radically underneath everything as that's been going on.
And platform meaning browsers and JavaScript support.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that because of the nature of that ecosystem, if you will, it means that the tools and frameworks and libraries actually can will end up evolving a lot faster, or the trends end up moving faster. Because if you think, say, of something like .NET, I mean, when even 1.0 was released, you know, C# was a fairly full-featured language. But of course, then if you fast forward to several versions later, there are many better ways to do things, both in the language and in the, you know, the base class libraries and different things like this. But but even in, say, C# 1.0, it's fairly well-established language in terms of its capabilities, in terms of things like how you handled modularizing code and what you could actually do with it just sort of out of the box.
Right.
But then you take JavaScript, it kind of had a very minimal base class library, if you will, you know, very minimal standard library, missing a lot of language features, you know, no real modularization, a lot of things that modern languages have that just weren't there. And then you say you want to build a library or platform on top of this, and then a few years later, all of a sudden, the platform or the language itself gets infused with all this stuff that was missing, core stuff like modules. And those kind of fundamental pieces having been missing and then appearing really transforms then the kind of things that you can build on top of the language and how you would go about building those. And because this process has kind of been ongoing for, you know, 20 years about with JavaScript, there's been a lot of churn in the frameworks. And so I just kind of stepped into that and said, well, we're kind of at least with respect to Aurelia, which you know, we want to talk about a little bit. There's been a transitional period recently with JavaScript where there was kind of a big upgrade to the web, you know, with ES 2015. And we went from, it's kind of the biggest upgrade to the language almost since it was first established, if you will. You know, we got modules, we got classes, we got lambdas. The whole process was sort of reinvigorated with how to evolve the language. And then when you kind of come and you look at the platform, you know, the web platform, in terms of these raw capabilities now being there, now you can really imagine a different way of building apps. And you can start to see these things that maybe you did on native platforms before that were extremely difficult or impossible on the web now become easier or built in, if you will. And so it's at that point where you can say, okay, it's time for kind of, you know, a new entry into this space that starts with the modern web as a foundation and says, okay, what can we build on top of this? And so that's kind of where I kind of come in with some of the stuff that I was doing back then. And as I was looking forward and to the future and kind of planning, that's where I wanted to kind of stake ourselves, if you will, is kind of in this modern web. And how can we make modern web development as good as or better than native end to end, you know, development experience, performance, everything.
So at the time in 2010, 2011, people were starting to do things. People were trying to solve problems in silos, individual problems. They hadn't yet built like major frameworks. They were trying to do things like, you know, templating, where it's like, you know, here's a string and I need to put some data in there. Then templating kind of became more about data binding. And then there was two-way data binding, you know, deciding how you're going to make a call to the back end. A lot of people use jQuery, and then there's two or three or four different ways. And now there's the new fetch APIs. You know, things are continuing to grow. People would put together individual solutions. They'd say, well, I'm going to use handlebars for my templating. I'm going to use jQuery for my DOM manipulation. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use that. When you look at things like Durandal, which then became Aurelia or Angular or Ember, these are more prescriptive, aren't they? They are a declaration that says, here's a solution, a style, an architecture, a framework. Is it almost like a base class library for app development on the web?
Yeah, there's a sense in which it is that. It's a set of philosophies, an approach, a methodology for building things. It's a base class library and a set of, you know, kind of core capabilities for building apps. And it definitely is more prescriptive. And I think that just comes out of the fact that, you know, like I was saying, things have evolved so radically, even in the foundations, that then the libraries and everything on top of that have evolved so radically, and that has just created such a huge proliferation of things that for the average developer kind of going out there and saying, okay, I want to build an app, they're immediately shocked by the breadth of options. And so, and Aurelia comes along and says, well, you know, here's a solution you can just start with running. And we've gone and we solved, you know, problems X, Y, and Z. And you can just go and it'll work for you. And we've solved the problem of not only technically, but philosophically, like, here's how you're going to structure your app. Here's how you're going to put the pieces together. And we've gone and we've done the performance work and made sure all the pieces integrate well. You know, we're doing the work of, you know, tracking the standards and making sure we're kind of in line with, you know, not what's just happening now and what's happening in the future. And so I think you kind of come into a space like that, into a community like that, and you get a lot of assistance, a lot of help, not, again, not just from the technical perspective, but prescription, guidance, community involvement, and even, frankly, just learning about web standards, at least with Aurelia, because we try and stay so close to the standards. We, part of what we do when we teach people Aurelia is teach them the raw web. You know, we want them to understand that because that's kind of the longest lived knowledge that they're going to have. You know, compared to a framework, you know, frameworks may stay around for a good number of years, but the web will be around longer than any particular framework. So we want them to learn that. So you kind of get all those kind of things when you, you know, you come to pick one of these frameworks, and it helps to alleviate the complexity of having to weed through a million different libraries and then piece them together and then keep them working together and all these different things. So there's still a lot of options even in the framework space, but it drastically kind of reduces what you have to worry about. And then you just kind of pick a path, and usually, you know, which framework you pick is going to have that guidance and all those pieces that you can just really hit the ground running and build stuff.
So on the way to Aurelia, Durandal was another framework that was a stepping stone. It was built on other frameworks. It had jQuery, it had Knockout, it had Require.js, you know, at its heart. Aurelia, and forgive my ignorance, but looking at the package JSON, looking at the code, appears to have fewer fundamental dependencies.
Yes.
Which speaks to what you just said, that it is just JavaScript, and it sits on top of JavaScript, as opposed to sitting on top of a stack of other dependencies.
Right, yeah. With Durandal, I kind of identified a bunch of problems at the time that needed to be solved to build apps. One was modularity, one was like templating and binding, and another one was just like dealing with cross-browser issues. And so instead of building everything from scratch with Durandal, what we said is we would take jQuery to deal with the cross-browser issues. We would take Knockout to deal with binding and templating. And then we would take Require.js to deal with the modules. And we could put that all together. And then we kind of put a thin layer on top of it that solved the issue of how to put those pieces together the right way. And then add some opinions and some additional capabilities for building apps. And then, and of course, that's has been and still is very successful and widely used. But we hit kind of the limits of what we could do. At the same time, the web was evolving quite a bit. And so we said, you know, what could we do if we actually started from the raw web, as I like to call it, you know, with pure JavaScript, with no browser abstractions, and just use modern DOM APIs and modern JavaScript and reimagined how these capabilities could be implemented. And we knew that we could solve a bunch of problems in our own implementations, that we could gain a lot of performance, flexibility, standards compliance, all kinds of stuff, and provide a more solid, trustable foundation for people to build apps on, where they would kind of trust that some third-party X dependency wasn't going to change and break their whole apps, you know, where we could guarantee that the framework would work because we kind of owned all the code, basically.
So the chain of trust doesn't apply to that, to, you know, their project and your project and then jQuery and then the thing that jQuery sits on top of, et cetera, but they do have to trust you. I mean, with all open source projects, they are buying into.
But we've reduced the number of people they have to trust. And we've also put ourselves in a position where if there's an issue, we absolutely can address it, as opposed to being in some other library that we then have to go through the political process of working with them and wait for them to fix it. You know, some other library, we don't want some other library to break our platform, which then breaks X number of our customers. We want to be in a position where we actually can fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And so, that was actually kind of part of the problems that we wanted to solve. If you look at the JavaScript space is kind of crazy, and you see, companies are spending millions, and there's, hundreds of millions, probably billions of dollars being spent in software development on top of the web, and the frameworks and tools that everybody's using, some of them are sort of like stitched together with toothpicks and duct tape, and it's kind of terrifying. I mean, there's been recently some activity around NPM. I'm sure you're aware of the, mm-hmm. the one issue where the guy pulled his package and affected something like 10,000 other packages. And it's all crazy because if you look at that, kind of the way that the Node ecosystem works, one JavaScript package has a dependency on another, which has a dependency on another, which has a dependency on another. So there might be 10 levels deep of dependencies for some package that you're using that you're not even aware of. And if something happens, anywhere along that line, you can have a problem. So we wanted to, at least to the degree that it was reasonable for us, we wanted to try and eliminate those issues. That's why actually Aurelia itself, the core has no third-party dependencies. We maintain our own polyfills. We have our own binding engine, our own templating engine. Everything is owned by the Aurelia team. Of course, it's all completely open source, MIT licensed, mm-hmm. but we just reduce our dependencies so that we can take responsibility for, our own issues, basically, mm-hmm. and deal with them. And we're doing the same kind of stuff. We're building some new tooling, some CLI tooling and whatnot, and we're just being careful not to have dependencies on others so that we can go to our customers and say, like, we can guarantee that this works, and if it doesn't, we can actually fix it, and we can do it in a reasonable amount of time,
Let me ask you this, though. When people are getting started, if someone is not steeped in the JavaScript culture, or maybe is an enterprise developer who's trying to make the right decision for their company, and is trying to figure out what they're going to pick, and they've got they've got Angular, which seems to have the support of Google, and they've got Ember, which has a lot of big personalities, behind it. How would they pick one and feel like they were like educated enough? Like, I don't have 2 years to become a JavaScript expert and then develop an opinion. It's almost like picking a religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you believe your religion is the best and someone else believes their religion is the best.
Yeah, it's a difficult choice for sure. I think, the first thing I think is to realize is that, it's not a zero-sum game when it comes to frameworks.
Hmm.
There are a lot of good choices. I think where people need to begin is thinking about the non-technical aspects. In other words, think about what is it that your business is doing? Mm-hmm. What kind of product are you building? What is the culture of your team? What is the experience of your team? And that can actually help guide you because certain frameworks have personalities, if you will, and they're going to align better with different groups of people or, in different contexts. And even within the same company with the same team, you might find that a particular framework or library is going to work better for one product or another. So I think it actually comes down to starting with really kind of understanding the needs that you have for the application development that you're doing, understanding the unique qualities of your team and your company, and then starting to see even from a high level how different technologies align with those things. Some technologies are going to get more in your way or are going to hinder you. They may have the same kind of raw capabilities, but maybe the way that they go about presenting them or using them or prescribing them is going to be more difficult for a particular product or for a particular team to work with. So you can start by just thinking in terms of those things. The other thing is I would say what I try and encourage people is realize that you can transfer all the knowledge and experience you have from whatever other platforms you've been working on to the web. So, separation of concerns is a great principle to follow in mm-hmm. .NET land. And so it's also it
on anyone land.
Yeah, exactly. So I tell people is look at look at the frameworks and look to see, you know, if you're looking at their component model, because all these frameworks have a component model. Well, how well do they deal with separation of concerns in the design of their component model? And you can actually see it. And you can see it if you think about looking for those kinds of things. So I would say, you know, the ways that you evaluate, you know, libraries and frameworks and tools in, you know, non-JavaScript land, you want to bring those same types of evaluations to JavaScript land in terms of business things, in terms of technical considerations. All these aspects you want to kind of transfer to the JavaScript realm and ask the same sorts of questions. And that can help you quite a bit, because I think what happens is people are immediately thrown off by some language or platform that they just don't know as well. And they kind of revert back to an earlier stage where maybe they hadn't yet learned the real cross-cutting or more general or universal principles. So I have to be reminded to come back to those universal things that you've learned and apply them to that new context that you're investigating. And that can help out a lot too.
Mm-hmm. And there's open source projects where it's just a random person out there in the world, you know, like with a Simpsons avatar.
Right.
I have no idea who they are. One of the things that's pretty extraordinary about Aurelia is that your docs are just, holy crap, best in class. I mean, they're just amazing.
Awesome.
Did you build those in Aurelia?
Yeah, the docs are built in Aurelia. One of the things we wanted to do is dog food our own framework publicly. So as soon as we launched beta, we had this new version of the docs that were implemented in Aurelia. And actually, we're about to launch a new version too pretty soon, which is going to make these look pretty shameful. But
really?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I love about the docs, and people should check this out just because I think it's a pattern that is going to be stolen. I'm planning on stealing it and taking credit for it.
I know what you're going to say, but go ahead. Yeah.
It's the part where at the top of the tree on the left side, where it's a list of all of the topics, there's a filter and it says, I am a web developer or an architect or a manager. And I love it because there's like 16 high level topics. And then if you're a manager, you click it and there's like two.
Yeah.
And it's almost like saying, I don't know anything. And it's like, hide all the hard stuff, but it's such a brilliant, UI.
Thank you. Yeah. We had this idea. Actually, I've been thinking about this for a while, and we have a chief design officer at the company. We've been thinking about this, but different people, you know, come to your site and they're interested in different things. They care about different things. And you know, when we're building technical projects, we often think about the technical docs, but, you know, a CTO or a manager is probably going to make a decision on what gets used actually a lot of times, and they need valuable information to help them. So, so we kind of have these different profiles, if you will. And there's actually more. We're going to have a lot more of those too, because we want to help our community too. So we're going to have profiles like, I am, you know, integrating with other technology, or I want to contribute.
And it's nice because I like that, and I hope that you maintain it as a filter, because it's not a view in the sense of you have to click them all to see everything. We assume that if you're a web developer, you see everything, but you hide the things that are, you know, outside your scope.
Yeah. So we're actually working on some new stuff for this too, where we'll actually have kind of homepages for each of these profiles that kind of give a bit of descriptive text and different table of contents and some other resources. And of course, we're always working on the content, expanding it out as appropriate for these different kind of vantage points. But yeah, I really wanted something like this. And a number of other people on the team did too. So I think it's really important that people be able to kind of identify and find what they're really looking for.
I had on the show last week, Nadia Ekbal talking about financing and paying for and supporting open source.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about the infrastructure of the internet, and not about like the wires and the telecoms, but, you know, things like JavaScript and things like the browser that fundamentally make things work. And, you know, here we are in an environment where there's like two, maybe three browsers. You know, there's two, maybe three JavaScript VMs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to eventually get down to just a couple of JavaScript frameworks. How important do you think it is to have companies, corporations behind it? Because the fact that Aurelia is open source, but also has a really rich consulting group, and you have actually consulting partners, like enterprise partners, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like Node in the enterprise is kind of hard, but Node Source is a company that will give you enterprise support, you know. They give you, someone told me that, they give you a throat to choke. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is, who are we going to yell at? Right?
Right.
So with an open source project, you know, you get issues where someone's like, oh, this sucks. Ah. And it's like, well, sorry. You probably shouldn't have built your entire company around it. The company has to really be deeply entrenched in open source. But with something like, Aurelia, you can treat it like a product, can't you?
Yes, and that was definitely part of what we wanted to do that I saw that was kind of missing in the JavaScript space, is we really mm-hmm. wanted to build up a company to support the open source, to build the whole ecosystem out, to have partners, and so that people that wanted to use it to build, we could say, like, yes, here's our official resources, or yes, we can put you, you know, you need a consultant? Well, we've got a core team member that can work right with you, or we've got an official partner that you can connect with, or, mm-hmm. You want commercial support, because there's a lot of people that are getting started that, you know, they just want kind of a safety net because they're treading into waters that are unfamiliar with, you know, so they just want a safety net. Or there are things like government agencies that some of them won't use open source unless they can literally pay. Like there are some agencies that they have to purchase a commercial something, which is kind of seems kind of odd, but honestly, that's neat that we can solve that problem for you. We can make, you know, we can solve that problem pretty easily. So we wanted to build up this whole ecosystem, and in my mind, I look like at a company like Microsoft or Apple, who has a native platform that's very rich, and I look at the ecosystem that's built around that. And that's kind of my vision for Aurelia. We want to build that same kind of fidelity of an ecosystem, if you will, around a JavaScript platform, so that mm-hmm. all the things that you would expect from any native platform you will find there, you know, whether it's great documentation, consulting, commercial support, you know, commercial products, partners, training, and a whole bunch of other stuff that we're working on that, you know, I can't really talk about, but we've got a lot of ideas. I think the business side is really important because, like I was saying earlier, you just think about the millions and millions of dollars that companies are spending building apps on top of these frameworks. And, you know, it's kind of like building the house on the sand, right? The foundation technically may be pretty decent, but there's nothing really behind that to support it long term, or to say, yes, well, we're going to give you an LTS support on this, and we're going to hold your hand and help you move through migrating across versions, or mm-hmm. oh, you've got a critical bug. Well, you know, you're a commercial support customer, so we can like issue you a patch, and we can do it, you know, give you some SLAs around that, and, you know, all these kind of things. So a lot of that infrastructure is just kind of missing from the JavaScript world. And we said, well, we're going to build an awesome platform from a technical perspective, but we're also going to look at all these other issues that kind of surround that. And we're going to make sure that we have a plan to address them, you know, and we're just kind of rolling those out in stages now. But I think it's really important.
And it sounds like it's working out pretty well. I mean, you've got a company. You're like, it's the real thing. Was that like a big leap of faith to say, we're going to build a whole consulting and training and team around this open source project? Was that like a leap? And how long did it take before you were like, yeah, this actually worked?
Yeah, it's definitely a leap. Just like starting any business, there's zero revenue at the beginning, and you've got a lot of time you got to put in to get something, you know, out the door. So you can start turning that around, and then you've got to build up the community around that to a certain kind of critical mass, you know, that, mm-hmm. that things start generating. So, yeah, there's definitely a leap about, you know, that has to do with that. It's scary. It's also super exciting at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a mixture of many, many emotions that are involved in that process. What's been really exciting with Aurelia is just to see the community grow and to see people join in the effort. I mean, we have, in the first year, we had over 300 contributors to the project. And so now we've got about 360 or so. So there's a new contributor every 1 or 2 days, something like that. To me, that just It's exciting. It's really exciting to see that. And we've got a core team now that's, you know, about 20 people. It's a mixture of developers and people that are writing books and people that are just kind of evangelizing in the community. And working with them, they're all great and, really awesome people. And, you know, when I started this project, I seeded the first version of the code. You know, I had kind of that alpha product built. Team came on board, and now, what it really is today is absolutely something that I could not have accomplished on my own. We've got people doing stuff on the team that are just doing incredible work. And it's really exciting to just see the, you know, that the inception of it and then see it grow and see the community grow and see people getting involved and see the business take flight and to see people start to prosper, you know, individual people and companies and to see people just be successful building awesome things. And I mean, it's really cool when somebody hops in our chat room and just like posts like a YouTube video. It's like with some awesome music behind it. And it's like, here's the app we built in like 1 week, you know, or, we got one of our core team members that his company, has put 7 apps in production in the last year, built with Aurelia, and they're a really big company, doing really cool stuff. And he'll send, you know, screenshots of like, here's our launch party, you know, and, like that kind of stuff, gets you really pumped. And, you know, I'm building a business, but there's also the other aspect of it for me, which is that I've been doing open source for over 10 years. And so it's not like it's about the money. Obviously we have to survive. I have a wife, I have kids. We need to pay the bills. I'm not trying to get rich. I like to help people though. I like building solutions. I try to transfer my knowledge and experience in building software into these frameworks to help other people be successful. So I just get a ton out of the whole process of seeing people, like I said, seeing people prosper, seeing companies prosper by using our technology and seeing what they've done with it. So that's totally exciting. And that's all kind of around, this whole process of starting with the idea of the framework, the business, bringing those things together, jumping out there, taking that risk, and then just kind of going with it and encouraging people, getting the community involved and just watching it, kind of bloom. So it's been really, really cool.
Let me ask you one question in conclusion. There was a time when you worked on Angular for 10 months.
Yeah.
And you thought that maybe you could bring some of your learnings from Durandal to Angular and make that something else, but it didn't work out. You went back and continued to work on your project.
Yes.
Can you briefly give us a sense of, you know, was that good time? Was that wasted time? Was that just, you know, architectural disagreements?
It was so many things, and I can't, you know, I have to be careful how I talk about this because some things I can't even talk about really. From a legal perspective since from an emotional perspective. because for me, the things I've built and the open source I've done, you know, is very important to me. And I have a vision. I've always had a vision for, you know, what I want to build and trying to help people. So, you know, I'm not going to call that wasted time. I think that any experience in life you should try and draw something out of. I definitely identified problems in the JavaScript ecosystem and in the framework space that I hadn't thought as clearly, about before that experience. And that does happen to do with some of the business side of things, where I realized that things were lacking or things weren't really being addressed. So I won't say it was wasted time at all. I definitely try to draw a lot out of that experience. And when I came out of that, I was, in a sense, I had a lot of emotions, of course, coming out of that. But in one way, I was invigorated to, you know, or at least pumped to work on my own stuff again. Because I knew for a certainty that I had a very clear vision of what needed to be built and that I felt very sure about the problems that need to be addressed. And maybe I knew a good portion of that before, but I had a certain amount of confidence coming out of that as well, that I had a deeper understanding and confidence about what needed to happen, I guess. And that's valuable on its own, of course, especially kickstarting a new company. You know, you kind of have to be in that frame of mind from the get-go, or else there's, you know, you have no hope of really succeeding.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate what you did to the community. And Aurelia is a great framework people should explore. It's AURELIA.io. On the homepage there, there's about a 30-minute video. It's very technical. It's a walkthrough from start to beginning, start to finish. Tells you exactly what you need to know. And like I said, the docs are something to aspire to. Looking forward to seeing what you do with the next docs. And I appreciate you talking with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.